Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester McDonald joins me to talk about gardens. Hester, what are we talking about this morning?
We're talking about design, designing your own garden.
Now, Hester, as a garden designer, you giving away all of your tips and tricks on the radio to everybody, it seems like a poor business decision.
I think it might make better gardens.
Oh, is that...
That's a good thing.
That's quite lovely of you. All you want is better gardens.
Better gardens with more trees and more nice plants in that are going to be happy.
That makes me happy too. I have been looking forward to this episode for a long time. I really want to know how you would ever go and approach a garden that you are bought into design. What do you first look for? What's the very, very, very first step?
So when somebody rings me, I usually ask them a few questions on the phone about, you know, where are you and how long you've been in the house and, you know, things like that, just to get them starting thinking actively about the garden. And then we arrange a first meeting and I ask them a lot of questions. I have a full questionnaire about who lives here, who comes to visit you, how many people come to visit you, how do you like to entertain? Do you like to have one or two other couples or do you like to have four families? And all of that kind of question, as well as what kind of plants do you like? Are you allergic to any plants? Do you have any pets? Are you away at any particular time of the year? All of those things help to give me a really good idea of how this family or this couple or this person live and how the garden is going to fit into their life. Because that really is the ultimate goal, is to get you to end up with a green space that you love, you find easy to take care of and thus do take care of. And it's not a burden and fits perfectly into your life and your lifestyle.
Going back to your first question about, do you like to entertain one or two people or do you like to bring several families over to this space? Other than whether or not you need to have a whole picnic bench or maybe...
That's exactly it.
Is that literally it? It's just literally the garden furniture.
How big a terrace are you going to need? Because it's very different. If you're a one person who generally only has one other person or two other people over, you really don't need a very big terrace. And you may actually want to have two little terraces, one for coffee and one for drinks, for example. But if you have, you know, four rambunctious children and like to also have families with four rambunctious children, I would very strongly recommend that you have a very large seating area far away from the football area.
I'm going to ask you a question that I don't think there's an easy answer to, but how much is it going to cost, all of this garden design, everything that you're going to do?
If you ask a person like me, it totally depends on how big your garden is.
Do you think it's really just down to size?
It's a lot is to do with size, because if you have a huge garden of several thousand square metres, that's a lot of planning and thinking versus if you have a teeny tiny terrace.
And is there a starting point to a budget for a small garden, say? Do you ever have this question about where's it going to start?
I'd say assume at least 500 francs.
That's fair enough.
I'd say, I mean, but if your total budget is 1500, maybe think about doing it yourself as much as possible. And then get someone in like me, just to do a consultancy on your plans to say, are these sensible? Have we made good decisions? And then I could say, yeah, how about, have you thought about doing it this way? This might be more practical.
Well, that's what we're here to do today, to give away all your tips and tricks so people can do it themselves, should that be an issue. Then you put together a kind of proposal, which is what you say, if you are on a very, very tight budget, you might want to do yourself and have you look over.
Absolutely.
So your what you're saying is you actually show your plans to the people who would like to change the space and they get to have their say on whether it's a good idea or...
Exactly. And so I would also do the same process if you're doing it yourself as I do when I'm working with someone. So I would start with the concept plans, which really like, these are all of the ideas we might like to have. This is all of the parts of the wish list that we love. And then try to boil them down into something you can actually do, which is your master plan. Then think about your planting plans. And what usually happens is people reverse and they start with the plants and then go, oh, but we have planted a load of bulbs here and we don't want to dig this up. So reverse it. And then be really specific specific with the people that are going to do the work for you. Don't have them in, don't have the landscapers in and go, we don't really know what size terrace we want or what materials are. Well, then you're never going to get easy to compare quotes.
Get specific. We'll be helping you make this sort of proposal and make these plans throughout this morning. Stay tuned. Send in your questions to studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester's giving away all her tips and tricks of garden design this morning. Honestly, this is great for me. I want to know everything, Hester. So let's imagine if I want to design my garden myself, what are your top tips? What do we need to do?
I would say live in it. Live in it first. Live in the garden.
Pitch up a tent.
Yeah, get understand where the areas of sun are, where the areas of shade are, where the dominant winds are, all that kind of stuff. So it's very easy to come into a new garden and think, oh, we'll rip out this and we'll take down this tree and that hedge is really weird. I would say live in it for at least 6 months, preferably a year, before you start ripping stuff out. You may discover that weird hedge by your terrace actually blocks you from the bees' wind, and it means you can sit out even when it's really windy.
All right, so maybe do something else for a year if you're desperate for a project, but not the garden. Live in it and understand why your previous
have made the choices they have, and it might absolutely confirm that that weird hedge has to come out, or we don't have time to look after that flower bed, for example, and that's fine. And then you can work on, I would say, come up with your wish list. What do you want to do? And be really clear why you want to do it. It's the, you know, the what, where, why, when, all that kind of stuff that goes with a wish list. You want to put in, I don't know, a tree to shade you. Well, that's a very good reason. You want to put in a tree to screen you from the neighbours. That's also quite a good reason. You need a new terrace. Fair enough. You don't like your front gate. You don't like your front entrance. All of those things, they can go into your wish list. And I'd also say prioritise them.
I need a hammock.
That's a great thing to put in.
What's the weirdest thing that you've ever encountered? Can you share it?
A tiki bar.
A tiki bar?
A tiki bar in a rose garden that we just planted.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What about having a look at whether your wish list is it viable? As someone that turns up to listen to what other people's wish lists are, do you hear things that you have to sadly break the news that their wish lists are probably unreasonable for some reason?
Well, I would say make sure it's coherent with your vision of your garden. So if... and with all of the people that are involved with looking after the garden as well. So if one of you wants a cottage style border, which is one of these kind of English country garden borders, but you hate gardening, that is not going to work unless you have an excellent garden who will maintain it, because they do not maintain themselves. I'd also say, so make sure you're kind of coherent in what you want to do between you. I'd also say budget. Budget's a big one.
What about looking at what's there now? We've just talked about having an ugly hedge or a bizarre hedge. What about how much do you try and work with what is already in the ground?
I would try and keep as much as possible. And I'd also say the same for I'd try and keep as much as possible for the hardscaping. Ecologically speaking, ripping up a terrace, which is mostly concrete, and replacing it with more concrete is not great. If there's any way you can keep what's there, keep what's there and try and work with it. I mean, there may be something like you really hate it or one of your kids is really allergic to birch trees and you've got a birch tree in your garden. Fair enough, take it out. But I would say, if possible, work with what you've got.
Looking at things that may or may not be actually achievable for legal reasons.
Yeah, that's a big one.
If you think, I would love to plant a massive tree here so I can shade myself from the neighbours and we can block the views.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, what happens there?
So if you're in Switzerland, you need to be extremely careful as to what the restrictions are for the height and ultimate size of anything you're going to plant and its distance from your boundary. So basically, the first 50 centimetres in from the boundary, you can't plant anything. From 50 centimetres to 2 metres, it can be up to 2 metres tall. And then beyond that, it depends how far into the boundary it is. So you cannot, for example, plant a 4 metre tree, tall tree, right on your boundary. You're just not allowed to do that.
Can I plant a small tree and then cut it back?
Nope.
Can I plant a tiny bush and then cut it back and then...
You can if it's 50 centimetres in, you can plant a tiny bush and cut it back.
And
you
then
can.
Maybe just hope that I'm gone by the time that
leave trouble for people afterwards. So that's it. That's a really good one. I say budget's a big one. Any planning restrictions that you need to do? So if you want to build a pool, assume many, many, many weeks of planning first. Because it might be that your planning commission for your commune only meets once a month. And some of them only meet once every 2 months.
Oh, you really do need to put that in advance.
Yeah.
Let's talk very quickly about different sizes, shapes of gardens. What if you've got a really weird shaped garden? If it's a big L shape that goes around your house, and what do you have to consider with that?
I would say think it's the same principles that I always use for any other. So think about zoning. Like what each bit of the garden is going to be used for. Because it's very easy to just have everything clinging to the house and actually nothing into the garden. The whole point about having a garden designed or doing it yourself is that you should use the green space properly. Mm-hmm. And that might be something as simple as putting in paths. So zone it and make rooms. So, you know, this is where we eat, this is where we sit, this is where we play, is a typical division, or where we, you know, produce vegetables. I would also say think about your views from inside to the house.
Nice.
Very important. And views from major doors is super important. And it doesn't really matter how weird your space is. If you've made it work with your environment and your life and you have nice views, particularly washing up window at front door, I'd say, and major terrace, probably the top three. If you get those things right, then you'll have done a grand job and you will love your space.
These are all some really good tips of how to design your garden. Coming up in just a moment, we'll have a look at some apps and some books that are also useful that will maybe give you a bit of inspiration as well. Hester, stay with us.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, looking at useful resources for your garden design, do you as a garden designer still have specific things that you like to use? Any specific tools? Do you go and design everything on a certain app on your iPad?
See, I have to say, I think Pinterest is brilliant.
Oh.
I use it a lot.
Just for inspo?
Yeah, for inspiration for myself and also for my clients. So, I mean... when I say to a client, oh, I think you want to have a family-friendly Mediterranean garden. Now, those words, individually, they might know what that means, but most people need visuals to go with it. And they also don't really know when we start talking about paving, for example, or planting schemes, or, I don't know, pergolas or hammocks or anything like that, what they really want. They might have seen one. But so I would say use Pinterest and use it in a really tactical fashion. So set a timer first.
Ooh.
Decide what your search terms are.
I've just typed in family-friendly Mediterranean garden, to be honest. And,
yeah, exactly. So decide what your search terms are. So it might be family-friendly gardens. And look for family-friendly gardens and make yourself a private board, one that you want to share with somebody else, like your spouse or your children or your designer or whoever. Add them to your board and... just look for those terms. And when the timer finishes, shut the app. Or you will be down a rabbit hole for 4 hours looking at knitting patterns.
Yes, Pinterest will do that to
Pinterest
you.
And that's its job. But you're trying to make it work for you, not the other way around. And that is brilliant. So I used to spend a lot of time with clients with lots of magazines and ripping out pictures. And I kept boxes and boxes of different pictures of things because Pinterest didn't exist. And I don't need to do that anymore because Pinterest has it all already.
And it's free.
And it's free and it's brilliant. And I think that it's very easy if you start doing this kind of thing for yourself to get overly complicated very quickly.
Sure.
There's a couple of things, a couple of apps that I think are good and are not too expensive. One's called iScape, and it's either €9.99 a month, which is not cheap, but you can cancel it quickly, or it's €32.99 for a year, which is all right. It's 3D, and you can draw onto your phone for different views. So say you're looking at, your kitchen window view would be a typical one, and you're looking at the hedge and thinking, I don't want this hedge anymore. You can then draw around the hedge on the app and change it for dozens and dozens of other renders, dozens and dozens of other textures, different sorts of hedges, a wall, a fence, a this, a that. And it's actually pretty good.
It's good to also show someone to describe what you're after, because maybe if you are very good at imagining something, but you've got someone else in the house, your partner perhaps, who finds it harder to understand what you're trying to explain, or finds it harder just to visualise what that would look like, it's very good to just be able to draw a very similar idea and get that down.
And I think that's brilliant. It's called Icecape.
Icecape.
And it's on any app store. And the other one I quite like is called Home Outside. And I think it's a bit fancy for most people. But if you like to draw and you want to do it properly and not have to get to grips with SketchUp or something like that, which was free, but not so much now. Very useful for sharing designs, so you can send them to anybody, which is great. And it's cheap, it's only $2.99.
As a single purchase or $2.99 a month?
Single purchase.
Love it.
I think that's really good.
If you've gone too techie for us, you want a book, you want to go back to the nice hardcover book.
Yes.
Something, a hard copy in front of you to flip through just for inspo, what would you go to?
I really like Tim Newbury. He's a British author and has dozens of books. His best one's called The Garden Design Bible, and it's loads of examples. So like you were saying, a weird L-shaped garden. He has lots of weird L-shaped gardens, or triangular gardens, or sloping gardens, and has loads of ideas. And I actually find it quite useful if I'm a bit stuck on a garden, just to flip through some of those and think, oh yeah, of course I could do it this way.
Anything else?
There's two in French, and I would say borrow this from the library if you're trying to get inspiration. One is called Le Nuancier du Jardinier, and it's colours. It's dozens and dozens of pages of colours of different plants and their flower colours, and it's absolutely beautiful.
I remember you talking about this and saying sometimes if someone goes and says I don't like purple, then you really drill down on what shade of purple that is.
Totally.
Is that all shades of purple, or is it a specific
lavender?
Is it just lavender
example?
That you hate?
Yeah.
Or if you really want something red, then which red is it that you really
it's
want to incorporate?
Absolutely brilliant. And it means that you can also fold, you know, gently fold pages over and think, well, does that yellow actually go with this orange, before you put it in and go, that's absolutely terrible. I also really like Didier Willery, If You Speak French, his Toutes les Plantes pour Toutes les Situations. And if you don't, the brilliant Roy Lancaster's book, Right Plant, Right Place, is fabulous. Or any of the RHS books, they're very, very good.
I'm going to put all of these on the website later. So if you missed any of these authors, then find them at worldradio.ch/digit. Hester, do you still just draw things on a piece of paper, like the squared
paper? I always draw
paper.
I always draw on paper. I start on paper, always.
Do you get your protractor out and the
ruler? I start on paper, and I actually quite like doing the survey in the garden myself. So I am crawling around on my hands and knees with the measuring tape and checking where things are, because it helps me understand the garden at a very physical level, firstly, rather than just having it as a kind of distance 3D CAD design. Mm. I'm Mrs. Squared Paper and a ruler and tracing paper. I absolutely love it. I also really like drawing off photos and printing off photos and drawing on top. I think it's really useful, really practical way to understand what it might look like without having to use anything 3D and fancy.
Collage.
And I still do that. And I would also say on the ground, draw out your design without actually building anything. Hose pipes are brilliant for curves. Planks are bits of wood.
Also, put it on the floor.
Literally put it on the floor. Spray paint. There's loads of spray paint that just washes off with the rain. And bamboo sticks to mark large trees or large new plants. Literally stick them in the ground and live with it for a week. Decide, actually, am I happy with this? Because at that point, you can still move everything.
If it's going to maybe cut off a bit of a path, or if it's going to cut into the garden, will you
absolutely
be happy with it?
Get hands on and get out there and actually mark it out and live with it.
Coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll have the Swiss news. After that, Hester will be back to look at your listener questions. If you've got any questions, now is the time. We will try and get to all of them if we possibly can. You can send in your questions studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Time to answer your questions. Hester, are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to start with Paula. Are we ready for this? Paula says, we've lived in our house for 12 years. We put in a pool before the pandemic.
Oh, good.
We
good
have
timing.
Just found out that the houses to be built over the road, will look straight into our pool and our garden. That's annoying. Is there anything that we can do to stop them being able to see in? I thought it was going to say to stop them building the houses.
Well, I'm guessing, Paula, that you're well past the point of objecting at the commune, at the, you know, the build declaration stage. I'm sure we're well past that. So you're now at the defensive point of the discussion. So I would say think about citing some largish trees. And as we said earlier, they need to be far enough into your property that you can legally plant them. So between 2 and 5 metres probably at this point. And think about different shapes of trees. So there's one particular sort, which is like an espalier or a pleach tree, where it's grown on a frame. So the stick bit, the stem is completely clear, which is ideal. And then you have this big panel of leaves without actually taking up loads and loads and loads of space or casting loads of shade on the ground. So that's one of the things you could think about. And maybe some kind of like lollipop blob type trees that could be well sited. And I would think about, because obviously when you move around the garden, the tree does not move. But you can think about major sight lines, like from the terrace of your pool, from your own terrace, from your kitchen window, that kind of thing, rather than you're not looking straight into. And I'm guessing you already have a hedge. Yeah. And if you don't have a hedge, this is the time to put in a hedge, because it will at least help reduce. Your hedge can only be up to 2 metres tall, legally, but it will at least give you another layer of things that you're not looking straight through.
I'm going to try and describe something, and I'd like you to tell me if they've actually got a name.
Okay.
I've seen people, they are used to give shade. It's like a giant triangle of material that's sort of stretched out. Is that what it is? A shade sail. I knew you'd be the person to ask.
Yeah.
What about that in some very clever places?
They're really useful.
They're quite modern looking.
They are quite modern looking. I would certainly go for one that's very high tensile one. It's well fixed.
Where do you get them from?
Oh, loads of places. Honestly, you can get them from Jumbo. You can chill or get anywhere in the summer. And you can get them online year round as well.
Perfect. I got a question from Dave. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Dave says, we get on really well with our neighbours. How lovely is that? Mm. We'd like our two gardens to be joined together so that our children can play together and we can pop in and out of each other's garden. Is this something that you've ever done? And is this a good idea?
Well, let's start with the good idea first. Yeah, this is a lovely idea. I'm thrilled, but be really careful legally.
Yeah.
Obviously, each garden still is an individual property, because you just have to think ahead to when maybe your neighbours sell or you sell or you move out for 5 years because you've been sent somewhere on mission.
Yeah.
And you're gone. So you have to think about that. I would also think very carefully about maintenance, like who's going to do the mow, who's going to cut the hedges, who's going to do this, because that's a guaranteed way to fall out with your currently lovely neighbours.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would think about that initially. Think about safety as well. Does it mean that the fence, so if you've got youngish children, you don't want them able to run onto the road, for example, like where are the boundaries and what are you going to keep safe? Or if you have dogs, or if you don't want dogs coming into your garden, you have to think carefully about this. But I think it's a wonderful idea. I have done this, actually. I helped two families make their gardens much bigger and much more useful. And we just made this kind of porous boundary between the two gardens. They had originally had a fence and a gate, and we took the fence and gate out and just made it so that there was a play area. And so then they just needed one vegetable patch, and it was in one of the gardens.
Yeah.
And the play area was in the other garden, rather than trying to make a vegetable patch and a play area and a seating area. And they had still kept two seating areas, because you don't necessarily want to socialise with your neighbours all the time. But it's a great way of making your space much more efficient.
I was going to ask about the gate. That seems to be the obvious answer to me.
Stick a gate in.
To put the gate in, because there is just this constant what if. What if your neighbours get a dog and it does tear everything up? Are you going to be annoyed at it coming into your garden? Dog's not going to respect a boundary.
No.
What if your neighbours put a pool in, but they don't think that it needs to have a fence around it?
Yeah, I think gates are great.
Gates sort of might just keep
just
everything
do the trick.
As friendly as it is at the moment. Are we ready?
And allows you to go backwards as well if somebody sells their house.
True.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I've got a question from Philippe, who says, we are building a new house right now.
Ooh.
I wonder if it's the one that overlooks Paula's pool.
Sorry, Paula.
We are building a new house right now. It's going okay, but we won't be able to move in until the autumn. But my wife would like to start planting trees and even grass this summer. Our builder says it's impossible, but once the scaffolding is taken down, we should be able to plant trees? ?
Yes, it's a good question. It might partly depend on your schedule of payments and whose ownership it is, and whether you're allowed to do anything, and whether another company is allowed to come in and lay grass. But you're right, once the scaffolding is down, you should absolutely be able to put in grass and trees. Just be really careful about watering. because if you're not there and you're not visiting regularly, things can die.
Maybe a really good excuse just to keep visiting the house, though. Yeah. Oh, look, I mean, I'm here to water it.
I don't think that's a bad idea at all. As long as you can square it with your building company and that they're happy to have a landscaper come in already and put in new soil and things, I think it's a great idea.
And as long as, I guess they're probably a little bit worried about if something doesn't quite go right with the financing or whatever, that you might then charge them if you've planted lots of things. As long as you get some agreement
and also
in place.
One of the other things is that I've also often noticed is that all sorts of rubbish get buried in the garden at the last minute, and this would stop this happening.
Yes, it would. Yeah, it would. Let's move on. Heidi says, our gardener told us that our hedge is dying. There are lots and lots of brown patches. He can take it out before Easter, but I've got no idea what I want to put in there instead. Have you got some ideas?
Wow. Yes. What do you want, Heidi? So let's go back to the same principles as we started with, which is, what do you want? What do you want it to do? Do you want it to screen you? Do you want it to be able to see through it? Do you like your neighbours? Is it on a road? Is it just between you and your next door neighbours? Mm. All of those questions should help you to start making decisions. Mm-hmm. Does it need to be evergreen? Do you want it to have flowers? Do you want it to be for wildlife?
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, make your list and make your priorities from that. And that will really help you to decide.
That's perfect. Hester, I'm going to leave it there for the questions. If we didn't get to your question and you've written in, I'm so sorry. We'll try and get to it next time. I wanted to pick the ones that were most related to garden design, but you can still keep sending questions in. We will still get them. And Hester, you do kindly reply to everyone that writes in. I want to just briefly touch on where you're going to be, Hester, though, before we have to end Dig It. Where are you going to be on the 26th and the 27th of March?
I'm going to be at a camellia show in Cessy in France Voisine at the Chateau Day, not as in Chateau Day, D-O-E-X, but Chateau D-E-S Colony, which is also not in Colony. It's very confusing.
It's really confusing.
In Cessy. And it's a huge camellia, rhododendron, azalea show with a specialist from Italy, Mr. Anton Giovanni from Lucca, and we'll be bringing loads of beautiful plants and lots of delicious Italian food and drink to sample as well. I'll be there with my car, absolutely empty, and my wallet.
It's not going to leave empty.
It is not.
On both days, the 26th and the 27th, just going back, just trips back and forth, back and forth. Hester, it's been wonderful. Thank you for sharing the tips and tricks of garden design with us. I want to go over everything again. We will put this up on the website, worldradio.ch/digit. You've been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.